Grace, mercy, peace be to all of us from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let's do something just a little different for the sermon this morning. I would like to go back to last week's gospel lesson and do a sequel to Jesus' loving dialogue with that rich young man, if you remember. I'll call the message, "A Rich Old Man Reflects." On what, you say? On a remarkable exchange that he had with Jesus almost 50 years earlier. In a dramatic dialogue, not dialogue really, it's a monologue in which he dialogues with himself. The man tries to explain to himself the decision not to follow Jesus. He said, "It was a sensible and a responsible choice." He was a person who tried always to live that way, not taking ultra responsible choices and risks. Not being foolish, we might say. However, he often found himself thinking, almost obsessing about the meaning with Jesus gave. The meeting with Jesus on the subject of what he had to do to get eternal life. Almost as if he thought he might have been wrong back then. Let us tune into his mind and there listen to the soliloquy of an old man with significant wealth, 50 years after his Jesus encounter. He's looking back on his life. And he's thinking about whether he made the right decision on life's center, God or wealth, following Jesus or chasing, trying to capture, hoarding riches. We start with what Jesus told him. Go, sell what you own. Give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Follow me. A lot of the things that the rabbi had been saying to people up to this point had made a lot of sense, but of course, his advice to give away everything was way, way over the top. Did he mean that literally, or did he overstate things deliberately for emphasis? If he meant it exactly as stated, get rid of all your wealth. That was too much, way too much. Let's listen to more of his thoughts. I did have considerable wealth back then, and I still do for that matter. And I don't apologize a bit for it. I've worked very hard, and it's good to have an attractive home, servants, great meals, and all the other things that money can buy. And there are all of the responsibilities that go with it. Folks who aren't rich usually forget about that. I would not ever have stayed rich if I hadn't taken care of business and taken care of it very well. Oh, I know what people think, that I'm just stuck on myself and I don't give a hoot about other people, especially those in need. But that is just not true. I know that God has given me my wealth. I always give my 10% the way God's law demands, and I give alms to the poor and things like that, extra. I may not enjoy giving money away. Who does? But I know the law, and I obey it. I think I can say that I'm a good person. there isn't always a lot of fun to be had in keeping the rules and doing your duty, but I don't let that stop me. I'm not one of those people who just take off time from work anytime they want. Vacation here, another kind of restful day over here. Need to share the beauty of nature, especially in this time of the year. And I'm not one of those people who just think that life should always be perfect and beautiful and exciting and adventuresome. You have to stick to routine and do your duty. Making wise investments and looking after my property has taken a lot of my time and effort, but that's part of the responsibility that God gives to the rich. Sometimes it almost seems as though my money owns me instead of the other way around. That's a crazy idea, though. But all my wealth gets protected and nurtured, and I'm the one who has to see to that. In some ways, it would be easier just to get rid of it. Go sell what you own and give the money to the poor. But you know what? That would be irresponsible. Some more thoughts. I have been tempted to do some crazy things with my life. Some years ago, I was thinking about joining the Zealots, those freedom fighters who were attacking the Romans and trying to liberate the Jews and the land of Israel. I really considered that seriously. After all, I, as much as any Jew, wanted our country to be free. But I decided that it didn't make sense to go off to the hills and lose limb and life, fighting against hopeless odds. I didn't see how they could succeed, and they didn't. The Zealots got killed when the Romans put down the Jewish revolt and destroyed Jerusalem completely. Still, the idea of giving up everything for God, even risking your life for the Holy One and His law, is very attractive. But it was very impractical. What kind of world would it be if people didn't count the cost and act responsibly? Giving up my life that way would have been like giving all my money to the poor. Completely, totally unrealistic. Oh, I sympathized with the freedom fighters. I prayed for them and discreetly gave them some extra financial help. But I got the biggest chunk of my money out of the country before the war started and rode it out safely in a neighboring city in Alexandria, Egypt. Out of the Holy Land proper. More thoughts. And there were those people who lived down by the Dead Sea in Qumran. They were called the Essenes. They're the ones who stored those Dead Sea scrolls in the mountains that were discovered later. Some of those Essenes went out into the desert so they could keep the law to the letter, studying the scriptures, praying and getting ready for that final showdown battle between good and evil. For a while, I thought about joining them, but I would have had to hand over all of my wealth to the community's well-being. What would have happened to all my customers and suppliers if I just dropped everything and gone off to be a monk, to pray and study? Giving everything up for God sounds impressive, but it's just not practical. You have to think these things through thoroughly first. I visited with some of those desert contemplatives and talked religion with them. They had very interesting ideas, but I did not join their community. It looks as if I was right, too. If any of those Essenes are still around, they must be pretty disappointed and disillusioned that the day of the Lord and the final battle still haven't come. And of course, they left it to other people to keep the business of the world running smoothly. They left it to other people like me. We had to do things responsibly. But I guess as everybody gets older, they think more about what might have been. Sometimes I find myself daydreaming about fighting the Romans at the gate of Jerusalem, or I wonder what would have happened if I had given my life over to prayer and studying the scholarly scriptures. And since my own sons have taken over a lot of my business now, there's a lot more time for me to wonder and to wish and to hope and to mull things over. To the point. You know how sometimes there's a bit of a song that you just can't get out of your head? Oh, sell what you own and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and then come follow me. That's the refrain that keeps popping up in my mind at odd moments. That's so strange. Because, first of all, it wasn't the kind of thing that I usually do, running up and to a traveling minister and asking what I had to do to get to eternal life. I was embarrassed later about kneeling in front of him at all, and I was feeling pretty religious at the time, and Jesus seemed like a good teacher. He made sense, and I wanted to be sure to get to heaven. I thought I was keeping the commandments well enough, but how can anyone be sure? Maybe I needed to do something extra. And he sure told me something extra. To sell everything, give money to the poor, and follow him. That wasn't playing fair at all. To sell everything, give the money to the poor, follow him, not fair at all. But the funny thing was that he didn't seem as if he were trying to mess with me, to wreck my life. I think he really cared about me. I could have been one of his disciples. But sell everything, I just couldn't do it. I already give a lot to charity, but everything just didn't make sense. It wouldn't have been safe. You can't just give up your security like that. I just had to say no. I'm sure Jesus was trying to do the right thing, but he was completely impractical. You see, preachers just don't understand the business world very well. Now, I certainly turned out to be right, because a few months later, after our talk, Jesus was arrested and crucified. If I had followed him, I could have been in a heap of trouble. A person with my responsibilities just can't afford to take chances like that. He still has his followers, you know, people who think he was the Jewish Messiah. I've run into them in odd places and times. Maybe that's why his words keep coming back to me. Once in a while, you hear about some of those people, they call them Christians, you know, being thrown out of the synagogues or getting in trouble with the Romans. But hey, I saw some of them being herded through a street to prison. And I thought, that could have been me. But the strange thing is that they didn't look sad, and they didn't look scared. Most of them were just poor people. But from the looks on their faces, from their attitudes, you might have thought that they could get the best lawyers ever to defend them. They looked as if they were victors, not victims. And I thought, that could have been me. Let's face it, I've gotten old and sometimes have these fits of morbid reflection. I get out of breath more easily, and sometimes my chest hurts. But I have a good physician, you know. That's one of the things that comes with being rich. You can afford the best health care. And you have friends and business associates on whom you can depend when you have money. That all sounds just a little bit hollow right now. Uh-oh. Here comes that invitation from Jesus again. Go sell what you own. Then follow me. Why? Blasted, why do I keep thinking about that? I have already made up my mind. Haven't I? My friends, this is where the rich man's mental gymnastics come to a halt. This is where his indecision blatantly shows. Now it's our turn. Are we undecided like he is years after making his first decision to follow wealth instead of letting Jesus lead? Or have we thrown our best, our all, into following Jesus as our central commitment in life? What stands in the way of our making God number one in our lives? In our hearts, let's name that obstacle. Let's name it and claim it so we don't have to same it all the time. Moreover, let's name and claim the gift of salvation that daily puts the riches of the God realm first, so that you and I can say right now, through the goodwill of the Heavenly Father, via the humility of Jesus, and by the gentle force of the Holy Spirit, amen, we shall. Amen.